Australia on the Triple M network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
They are the hunters and collectors. They hunt and collect. When the river runs dry, here on the Triple M network around Australia and affiliated stations, including KO FM in Newcastle, 92.5 Gold FM in the Gold Coast, 2GO 107.7 FM on the Central Coast, B-Rock FM 99.3 in Bathurst is also with us. 133353. Hey, Miss Jess, how was your weekend?
It was good, Lukey. How was yours?
It was all right. It was all right.
What did you get up to?
Jess, I took Mum. But I took Mum to see Bohemian Rhapsody. We went to a 10:10 Saturday morning session, and we saw Bohemian Rhapsody. And guess what? She loved it.
I've heard it's amazing.
She loved it. She's 89 and she loved it. She was into it.
Well, she'd know all the songs, right?
Well, she knew some of them, but she remembers me playing them when I was a kid, you know. That's the early stuff from the 70s. But it is absolutely fantastic. You know how I said Bradley Cooper was a shoo-in for Best Actor?
Have you changed your mind?
After A Star Is Born, and I've only ever seen one movie this year. That was that. Now that I've seen this, Rami Malek, oh, he is unbelievable.
So you reckon they'll be up against each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, two great films.
Yeah.
That are out right now.
Yeah, two, a musical with a musical genre.
Mm.
It is really good. Rami Malek, who plays Freddie Mercury, is, it's unbelievable. Some critics are saying that it skips over or it sort of bypasses Freddie's...
Don't give too much away, Lukey.
Sexual preferences. But it doesn't. It addresses it, I think, adequately. But it's a great yarn. It's an amazing story. And the footage that they show of the Live Aid concert at Wembley, obviously they've used CGI technology to have the crowd in the background while the movie, the actors play Queen, and he's got the moves down pat. He studied it and studied it and studied it, but then they interact that with real footage of that concert. Queen stole the show. And that's really impressive.
All right. Don't share any more. Mm. You're giving too much away, but it sounds like a good movie.
No, how could I have?
No, just don't say any more.
But everyone knows the story.
Yeah, but some people might not, and they'd be keen to see it. I don't know too much about the band. I want to watch it.
Yeah, because you're only a young'un.
Oh, but some friends my age are into them.
Yeah, no.
I just don't know enough about them.
No, you should. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Go on, please see it.
I will.
Do you know? Can you find out for me? I'd like to know how much money it's taken since it opened on Thursday. When we went, mind you, we went to a ten a.m. session. It was three of us.
Yeah.
It was me and Mum and someone else up
it's
the
not
front.
Not prime time.
That kept coughing.
Get rid of him.
Anyway, there you are. 133353. I'm having a break at the end of this week.
You're going.
Are you going to tell the folks who's filling in?
Can we say it yet? I don't know.
Is it a secret?
Is it?
We'll leave it for a while.
Yeah, we can leave it.
Yeah.
It's not Luke.
It won't be me.
He'll be off for 2 weeks.
I'll be off for 2 weeks. From Friday will be my last program for a couple of weeks. But Jess is staying on. She'll keep the place running smoothly. But we do have a surprise guest.
We do. Someone who hasn't filled in on this show yet.
No, someone who hasn't done radio before, but I think will take to it like a duck to water.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Oh, shall we? We'll announce it later.
Yeah, if we can.
It's somebody that most people would know. Go on. What else can we say? Controversial?
A bit controversial, yes. Mm-hmm.
What else can we say?
Bit of a media frenzy surrounding them a few months back.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, look, take some guesses.
Hasn't been on The Bachelor.
No, has not been on The Bachelor.
Has not been on The Bachelor.
Not on any reality TV shows.
But would take to that like a duck to water.
You reckon?
Oh, I can see him on the block. Oh, I just said it to him.
Oh, rookie.
A rookie?
We've given a lot of guesses. I think it's pretty easy now.
I wonder if people can guess.
Yes, we have given many clues.
Okay. Well, what's the prize if they get it?
We don't have anything.
We've got nothing.
Pride.
Have we got a sticker?
Half of one.
Well, it just says
M.
M-N.
That's it. That's all we've got.
There's an M and then an N.
But you'll feel good if you get it right, you know.
133353. All right, Miss Jess, good to see you. And what did you do? I'll find out what you did on the weekend. We'll keep people in suspense.
All right, we'll give them a hook.
We'll come up with that a little bit later on today. Perfect coffee again. Perfect.
You're welcome.
I don't know how you do it.
It's the machine. It's not really me.
It is. It's you.
I push a couple of buttons.
There's love in it.
There's a bit of love.
There's not as much love as there used to be.
Yeah. Drink up.
I'm wearing off on you. Got a question for you about manners.
Uh-huh.
Okay, just listen to me. Nikki, the Minister for Women Finance, her two girls both recently had birthdays within 3 weeks of each other. And so she said, all right, then for a present, I'm going to take you and your boyfriends, so there's four, she's taking four people out, to any restaurant, wherever you want to go, tell me where and when. And they chose last Saturday night. And because the two girls are vegans, they've chosen a vegan restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Two boyfriends, not vegans. One is when it suits him. The other one, definitely not. Nikki, definitely not. They chose a vegan-only restaurant, not a restaurant that has lots of vegan stuff that they could enjoy. You can look it up on the internet. The whole menu's there. No. Nah. If you didn't like vegan, you went hungry. Is that bad manners?
No, it's their birthday. She told them any restaurant you like. She didn't set rules. And vegan food doesn't have to be awful. I mean, I'm not a vegan, but I've had delicious vegan food.
Didn't you know it's either Hungry Jack's or McDonald's. I forget which. I just remember being so horrified, reeling back in, I just couldn't believe it. There's a vegan burger.
Yeah.
And the couple enjoying it on the TV ad look actually happy. Well, they're being paid.
Well, in this city, there are a lot of vegan people. It's, you know, a lot of people moving towards that. When you hear stories about how meat is, where meat comes from and how it's all processed, and people are mortified. And also, some people do it just out of consideration. They just think it's wrong. I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. I'm explaining it to you. Why are you so intolerant? Such an angry old man. Live and let live, Lukey.
So, Nikki's definitely...
He's having a heart attack.
No, I'm not. Couldn't they have chosen...
Stroke?
Couldn't...
Hernia.
I've nearly had three since I met you. Couldn't they have chosen a restaurant that had a good vegan menu, you know?
Options.
Options, but still could have had something that the other two could have enjoyed?
Yeah, they could have, but it's their birthday and it's where they wanted to go. She said anywhere. Did she not like the food? Did she try some things?
I haven't spoken to her about it. So, and because she didn't bring it up, I'm tipping it wasn't big with her. Mm. Otherwise, she wouldn't have said something on Sunday.
Well, yeah, if you're a meat eater, obviously, you're not going to love vegan food.
I don't know much about our audience here on the night shift. All I do know is I bet you there's not many vegans.
Not many at all.
I don't reckon there'd be many vegans listening to us. Let's see if we can find one.
Yeah, sure.
133353, do you listen to this radio show regularly? By regularly, 3 out of 5 days at least?
Mm-hmm.
And are you vegan? I bet there's not one.
There's got to be one.
I bet you there's not.
There's a big movement out there, Lukey.
I bet, yeah, especially after a vegan meal. And I bet, and I'm tipping that there aren't any man buns listening to us either.
Do you want there to be man buns listening to us?
Well, Jess, we need as many as we can get.
Yeah.
We probably can't afford to alienate any more people.
No. No, we can't.
So maybe we need to be, this is where I'm going.
You, where you, me, you need me. To work on things. I'm all right.
I admit it, me.
Uh-huh.
Maybe this is where I'm going to have to start.
Being kinder, nicer, more welcoming, more accepting, less judgmental, less angry, less cranky.
A bit more patient, a bit more loving.
Wouldn't kill you.
A bit more caring.
Mm.
Nah.
Some things never change. Luke Boner is one of them.
Why change? Why change? Yeah, look, if anyone out there has seen Bohemian Rhapsody, do you agree with me? Do you think it was fantastic or were you disappointed? Give us a call. I thought it was just brilliant. Rami Malek. Wow. Anyway, lots to talk about. Eric, good morning. Your first caller.
Yeah, hey, mate. How you going?
Oh, I'm good, Eric. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Melbourne, in Victoria.
And why are you up?
I'm just on my way home from a mate's birthday, actually.
Oh, very good. Now, what's up?
And I was just tuning into the radio, Triple M, and yeah, I was just interested in the topic because, as a young fella, my parents owned a small grocery store, and there's obviously experienced a bit of theft, and I sort of helped out by going undercover, you could say, and just trying to catch people shoplifting, and over time doing that just casually, I picked up a few skills and sort of started to be able to identify some common things that shoplifters would do. Yeah.
Right. Well, you're exactly who I want to talk to. So you were a secret shopper.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
And just in your parents' shop.
Yeah, that's how it started off. Yeah, that's right. I thought it was because only a small store. Not going to go hire anyone to do that or anything. So we sort of just took it under our own initiative to do something about it. And yeah. So I was sort of just pretending like I was a customer and then.
And did you eventually go on and do this in other stores?
Well, yeah, after 2 years. So for 2 years, I just did that casually and part-time at my parents' store. And then after all, I knew someone who worked, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name, but yeah, worked at one of the larger stores. So I ended up doing it. I didn't do it there full-time, but I was doing it there a couple of days a week, yeah.
How much does that pay, by the way?
It was just normal. I was only at uni at the time, so I was paying the bills at 22, I think, an hour.
And do shops, small and large, still employ secret shoppers?
Definitely the large organisations, yeah, for sure, 100%.
Do they
There's even times now where I'm just local shopping centre just getting a few things, and I reckon I can pick which ones they are for sure. That's just from experience, but yeah. Yeah, they're definitely 100%. They've still got them for sure.
Okay, now take us through it.
Actually, this with obviously the introduction of video surveillance and stuff these days, they might not be as common just because someone could be watching from a camera and doing the same job pretty much without actually being there.
Mm.
I'm not exactly sure how they do it these days because I haven't done it for a while now.
Well, take us through it. What do you look out for? What are some of the tricks you've learned?
Well, obviously when I was doing it for my parents, I didn't have any training or anything. I just sort of learned just through experience and, just things that I sort of picked up time and time again. The first thing that if I noticed that I'd be aware of and I'd keep close eye on them was these shoplifters often wouldn't like to be greeted as they walked into the store. It's like
they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
They didn't want to be greeted. It's like they wanted to be anonymous because it's almost as if they knew they were going to be doing the wrong thing and wanted to act as if nobody knew they were there, and then as soon as someone acknowledged them, they were, alarm bells are going. That's like, someone's noticing.
So if you go up and greet someone as they walk into the store, if they don't give you eye contact and sort of look a bit shy, you're immediately suspicious.
Oh, not immediately, because there's other times they could just be a shy person, or that's what they say. Someone could be, could talk back to me, and they could still steal themselves. So that's not a given, but that's just from experience. That's what I found. A lot of the time, people who were shoplifting didn't like customer service, didn't like to be greeted, or didn't like much conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, what else do you look out for?
And then one of the biggest giveaways for me was there was two big giveaways for me. The first one, I'll probably say 90% of the time, if someone's shoplifting, they go into a cluttered aisle. If something's organised and everything's where it's meant to be, they can't hide things. They can't cover up what they're doing because you know what's meant to be there. But if an aisle's disorganized, there's all different things that aren't meant to be there. It's easy for them to cover up and act as if they've gone through the different items because it's all mixed up, stuff like that. They can act like something they wanted is missing and they've gone through it, and then that's just a cover up. And when they're doing that, they often spend a large amount of time at the shelf, fiddling through whatever they're going to. Sometimes I call people swapping barcodes, putting something worth $20 in a wrapper that was worth, or a package that was worth $5. They could be doing all sorts of things. And because it's disorganized, they can cover it up. That's what they're trying to do anyway. But like I said, yeah, after a while, especially because when I was doing it for my parents, I was passionate about and cared about my parents' business. You know, I was paying close attention, and if I seen anything, I was right onto it and just, you know, paying attention. And that's something that I come across that a fair bit. And the second thing that I was the dead giveaway, and probably the most obvious one. Any shoplifter that doesn't like any form of undercover agent or detective, someone who, you know, they might suspect and watch it, you know, spying on them. And as soon as they, they get paranoid or suspected that someone was onto them for stealing, it was a dead giveaway if they were or not, because their eyes were, you know, constantly turning their back, you know, to see who was following them, or
they were
looking at everything but the groceries, to be honest. You know.
Now, what I'd love you to do is later on, Jess, the footage of that guy at the Bunnings, is that on Facebook yet? It's there. Now, I'd love you to go onto the Night Shift Facebook and have a look at the footage of this bloke stealing lawnmowers from Bunnings. It is unbelievably brazen, and maybe it wouldn't surprise you, but Eric, this guy, he's got a trolley. He's put a Honda lawnmower on the trolley, and he's just pushed it out past the staff out to the car park, and no one has questioned him. And I'm suspecting that no one's questioned him because he looks so confident.
So this leads me into my later on. I did criminology at uni.
Oh, right.
And so that gave me a little bit more education on, you know, one of the topics.
The mindset of a thief.
Exactly. Career criminals, people who don't just do this, you know, because, you know, they're in the shop and they feel like stealing something. This is almost like a career to them. And, you know, the better they are at it, and if someone's been doing it for a long period of time, they're confident, they know, and they become cocky. They almost walk in there and act as if they're doing nothing wrong. And if they believe they're doing nothing wrong and they can pull it off, well, everyone else around them is almost going to believe it as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Well, have a look at this footage when you get time, and leave a comment. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, as soon as I get off the phone with you, I'll have a look and, you know, I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah, I would really appreciate it. So I wonder how many stores now do employ store detectives, or are they dropping off now because of the CCTV and how accurate it is and how much clearer it is now?
Well, yeah, definitely CCTV is always getting better, so that can always help now. But you definitely have your detective or your secret shoppers in store and, you know, always having a second look. Sometimes the cameras might miss something, or they can't see exactly what's going on. And because that's one thing. I can't remember the exact amount, but theft accounts for a large amount every year in Australia, and it's ridiculous, you know.
Mm.
Like, obviously, it's not fair for the large organisation that theft, but, you know, you get a lot of small business out there trying hard to make ends meet, and you got people, you know, thieves, you know, drug addicts and people that are just stealing from them and taking advantage of them, and, you know, they're the ones who suffer. You know, they've got families to feed, and at the end of the day, you know, stealing is wrong, and, you know, they shouldn't be doing it, and, yeah, it's wrong. So,
Well, very interesting, and you ended up going to uni and doing criminology, eh?
I was doing criminology. Didn't end up finishing, I just uni. Took a break off uni, ended up doing a trade, so, yeah. But, yeah, still got that background knowledge, yeah, but, yeah, which I guess, you know, I always have with me, and
yeah.
So even if I'm in the shops now, I can sort of, if I'm just walking, you can sort of pick. Not that I judge anyone, but I can sort of, you know, have a bit of a hunch.
You can tell.
Good.
You can tell. Anyway, listen, thanks for your call, Eric. Appreciate it. 133353. Anyone else out there being a store detective? Anyone else out there being a secret shopper? What are the tricks? 133353. Lauren is also from Melbourne, I think. G'day, Lauren.
Hey, how you going?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad for a Sunday or a Monday.
Yeah. What's going on, Laura? Where are you? Melbourne?
I'm in Seaford.
Okay. What's up?
I was listening to when you were talking about the cockfighting and then about the dogfighting and whether or not that still happens. And a few months ago, I was at a party with like a few friends, and there was a guy there that I hadn't met before. And he was actually talking about it, like, as if he was into it and doing it. And he went on to explain that, like, what they do is they'll walk around the suburbs, and it happened a lot in Seaford as well, and they'll look for people walking their dogs. And if it's the type of dog that they want to use to fight, they will undetectedly follow them back to where they live, and then they mark their fence, and then they go back to their house and steal the dog when they're not home to fight them.
You're kidding.
Yep.
You're kidding.
Yep, and it happens. It's happened a lot in Seaford. There was a big period in about 6 months ago where people's dogs were just getting stolen. Like, I won't leave my dog outside if I'm not home because I'm terrified my dog will get stolen.
Aren't these people worried about being bitten?
Obviously not. Obviously not. And it was huge, like, 6 months ago. Like, heaps of people's dogs were going missing, especially Staffies and Rottweilers, and they were just taking them. They just did not care.
So they check out the dog parks where people walk dogs?
Yep, or they just walk around the streets, and if they spot a dog, someone walking a dog, that they say, hey, that looks like a good fighting dog, they will undetectively follow them back to where they live, and then they mark their fence with, like, a bit of paint or something so they know that's the house to go to, and then they wait for them to leave for work or something like that. They jump the fence. They steal the animals.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's horrible.
Why would they mark the fence? Why wouldn't they just write down the number?
They mark the fence. Oh, you know what? That's a really good question. I don't know, but that's just what I heard, that they mark the fence so they know that's, I suppose, so then if they ever got busted, there wasn't a list there or evidence there that they, you know, were doing that. So, yeah, I'd say it definitely still happens, which is pretty horrible.
Now, that's dog fighting. See, now, here we are, 100 roosters, hens and chickens removed from just two Victorian properties. That's because horrible. Of illegal cockfighting.
That's horrible.
Illegal cockfighting? It goes on?
I know. I know. I don't get what they get out of it, though. That's the part I don't understand. Like, yeah, it baffles me, and it's just horrible, and it's cruel, and it's just unnecessary.
You know, anything's possible. When we saw that Four Corners expose on the greyhound industry, and you saw trainers blooding dogs, that was unbelievable. That was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I guess anything's possible.
Yeah, you are right. It's an animal. Animals are like part of the family. That's the part I just can't comprehend. Like,
but the thing is, if you've got an organised cockfighting game going or a dog fighting, that involves a lot of people. I'm amazed.
I'm amazed
that the word doesn't get out quicker.
I completely agree. It's like an underground, like, it's like the mobster, undetected, like.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, no, I just thought I'd call about that.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Lauren. I appreciate your call. Thanks for listening, too.
Not a problem. I always listen. You're the best.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it, mate. Bye-bye. There you are. That's what Lauren's heard. There are organised gangs, people, you know, sussing out dogs that would be a good breed to be trained as a fighting dog, and they're stolen from backyards. See, why aren't other radio shows talking about this? Why is it just here? We need to lift the lid on this. 133353 is the number. Talk about this bloke. We're asking, does he have the right to sue? We're talking about a wheelchair athlete who had to drag himself through Luton Airport. Well, he didn't have to. He chose to drag himself through Luton Airport because his self-propelling chair was left behind on a flight. He is now suing the airport. He says offers from staff to push him on an assisted chair removed his dignity and independence. And he now wants to sue the airport. Daniel has rung me from Western Sydney, who is a paraplegic, also in a wheelchair. He's currently at an emergency ward at a hospital looking after a friend who's got something in his eye. Are you there with me, Daniel?
Yes, mate. Yeah.
Daniel, you said that you travel overseas and often give public speaking seminars about how you got yourself into a chair. What's the story?
Yeah, so basically I was 24.
Yeah.
Not long bought a house, not long got engaged. A week earlier, I found out that my partner was a month pregnant. So everything was great, you know, everything was doing well. I was working hard building roads, working on the roads, maintaining freeways, highways. I went to work this night. Basically, we were working on the M1 freeway going north, heading up towards sort of Central Coast. And we were street sweeping. So we had a machine sweeping the road. We had two other vehicles and then myself. I had a car with a trailer on the back with a big arrow that flashes to say move out.
Yes, I've seen them, yeah.
Okay, so a semi-trailer driver has
well, he claims he's fallen asleep and drove over the top of my vehicle, which basically trapped me underneath the B double, and I had to be cut out of the vehicle and so on. So from that, I suffered a T12 L1. Basically, my bones, the actual vertebrae had shattered.
Yep.
And the bone had cut through my spinal cord.
Oh, jeez.
So that was 14 years ago now. Unfortunately, due to that, I fell into a depression.
Yep.
My partner, 2 years, like I spent 9 months in hospital in rehab, moved home basically to a partner that's had just had a baby, mm-hmm. and then got myself to look after also.
Yes.
So our relationship only lasted about another year and a half to 2 years, and she unfortunately had to leave. She just couldn't take it anymore.
Couldn't cope.
But that's you know, there. Like, I understand from her point of view as well. There was some time where, like, I hated the world and things like that, and had to sort of get through my own head that, you know, it was an accident. It was no one's real fault, and that I can still do anything that I wanted to do, basically.
Yeah. When your partner left you and she took the baby?
Yes, yes.
And do you still see that baby?
Yes, I do. So I get my son every, like, second weekend, and then half of every school holiday that he has.
Your partner, who couldn't cope with it all, have you spoken to her about that?
Yeah. We're still friends and speak quite often, and she still tries to help out in bits and pieces when she can. Like, she's got a new partner now, another child, stuff like that.
How do you feel about that?
Look, it's hard because I still love her. I was always still in love with her, but she just said it got to a point where she felt like it was more a carer than it was a partnership.
Mm.
And that was the problem. So, like, I can understand from her point of view where she's coming from, definitely. So it was sort of, it's hard. Like, I get along with the guy that she's now dating. He's great with my son and stuff like that. And, you know, he's willing to help and look after me and do bits and pieces for me as well.
Wow.
So I've been very lucky that way.
Are you with someone now?
No, I haven't been with anybody since. I have tried. It's very hard for people to understand and be willing to get into a partnership with someone like myself.
Mm-hmm. Look, anything can happen.
Well, that's it. Anything can happen. Unfortunately, the biggest thing is sort of, especially like sexual-wise, unfortunately, I'm not able to get an erection. I have to use an injection and things like that. But the biggest thing is I still don't have feeling down there.
Yeah.
So that's a hard thing when you try and explain that in a relationship side of thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And a lot of people sort of, it's too hard or too much for them to take. So
how old are you, Daniel?
I'm now, what am I, I'm 38.
There's still time. There's probably some special person out there with your name written on their heart. Can I just tell you, my stepdaughter had been through a series of, in particular, one relationship that was unbelievably destructive. And anyway, she decided to travel, and she had been nannying whilst in Australia for a while. So she went to England, and through a friend met a bloke who'd had an accident on the building site years ago and had broken his back. And she initially started as his carer. Well, they fell in love. And
yep.
And 2.5 years ago, they had twins through IVF.
Yep.
And it just shows that there's out there somewhere, there's the right person for everyone, I think. There's a lid for every pot, as my dad would say.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And all it is just waiting for that right time. You know, you keep trying, you've got to get yourself out there no matter what. You know, I can't stick myself in the house and just lock myself away.
I have to have a life, and I can do everything I did prior. I've proved to myself that I was able to do that. I've gone and done rally driving again. I go forward driving a lot, work on cars again, do things. It's just more thinking about the ways around my injury.
Sure. So and you look at people like Kurt Fearnley, hey?
Exactly right.
And my mate John Kustis up there in the Gold Coast.
Yes.
Who gets around on the skateboard. He's just got
exactly.
Do you know John?
I have met him, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, and that's the thing. It comes down to very much a mindset, especially with us males, I find. As I said earlier, like, a lot of us, we don't want to ask for help or we don't want to take help. And that's a thing. We need to, even though I'm paraplegic anyway, even in general life, people need help at times. And we've got to talk out even through depression, stuff like that.
Well, jeez, I'm glad you rang. And can you do me a favour? Don't be a stranger. Ring any time.
Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, I'm up quite often because of my pain and stuff like that. I don't sleep very much.
Are you in pain?
I'm in constant pain. I suffer from major pain issues from it, with a lot of nerve damage and things like that. So I get a lot of like a burning sensation.
Dan, in the lower part of your body?
Not in the lower part. I can't feel anything basically from the belly button down, but along the back. Just above the belly button sort of aspect along my back, I get a real bad burning sensation in like a band across my back.
Tell me, were you compensated at all?
I was, yes. Yeah. So I'd come under what was called like the green slip, basically, of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough that's going to last me my lifetime. So I've still got to work.
Of course.
I've still got to do something. One, for my own peace of mind, getting out there, talking to people, things like that. Like, I'll never work on the roads again, like I was traded for. But as I said, I get out there, I tell my life story to workplaces, to mines, to things like that, just to say that things can happen, especially if you are tired. You know, things like that. Or you might see something that's wrong. For example, a puddle of water somewhere. If you can just take that 2 seconds and mop it up or wipe it up, that might stop the next person that doesn't see it falling over and breaking their shoulder or back or so on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why I go and talk to people and tell my life story to hope that maybe I might be able to stop the next person from getting into a car and falling asleep or tripping over just something at work or just those simple things.
Tell me, the driver of the semi-trailer that hit you, did you ever have a conversation with that driver?
No, unfortunately not. I never had a chance. I wasn't able to even do my impact statement. I was basically just had to write it down and hand it over. I never got an apology or anything.
You never got an apology?
But, look, it wouldn't have truly made a difference. It wasn't going to change what had happened. It wouldn't, if he apologised, it wouldn't mean I can walk again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was more I had to apologise. Not apologise to myself, but realise that, you know, that it's just one of them things.
Wow. Unbelievable. Daniel, nice to meet you.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you.
And we'll talk again, yeah?
Yeah, not a problem.
Wow. 133353. Look after your mate with the sore eye. What car were you fixing up?
We're working on his EH, Holden.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Make sure your friend's eye's okay.
Yeah, he'll be right.
He'll be right. Yeah, compared to you, nothing. It's a flesh wound.
Yeah, well, that's it.
That's the thing. Imagine living with you. You wouldn't be able to complain about anything ever.
No, I don't let them get away with anything.
No. you've got us all beat. Nice to meet you, Daniel. Take care.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. 133353 is the number. Wow. What a story. The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network. Scott, g'day.
Oh, Luke.
Hey.
Luke, I've got ya. It's about time. I've been on hold, but you are worth the wait.
Sorry, buddy. That was an amazing story.
It was. I was pretty close to shedding a tear then, let me tell you. Were you?
Mate, you know, he said the guy doesn't need to apologise, can't change anything.
True. Too true, I say. Play on.
And there he is at the hospital with his mate.
Yeah, terrible.
And he's waited 2 hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, here we are.
Here we are, Scotty.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't always make it dance.
That's it, mate. That's it. What are we talking about?
About the burgers that you spoke about earlier.
Well, they, in New South Wales, they're looking at judging the top 10 burgers. And I thought, let's go nationally. What is
I've
it?
I've got one for you.
Okay. You're in Melbourne.
I'm actually sitting on Western Port Bay as we speak, fishing for snapper. The conditions are absolutely stupendous. You could barefoot across here.
Really?
And I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You ready?
Okay.
Get yourself in your little vehicle next time you're in Melbourne and head down to Andrew's Burgers in South Melbourne.
I'm writing this down. Andrew's Burger.
Yeah, sorry. I've just got to wipe up the drool off my bottom lip. Even just thinking about him, I'm dribbling.
Where is he?
He's in South Melbourne.
South Melbourne.
Do yourself a favour. Trust me.
Okay. Why are Andrew's Burgers so special?
Oh, where do I start? The lettuce, the crispy lettuce. The way they cut the lettuce, mate, you don't understand.
Like, no, I don't.
The tomato, the sauce, the egg, it's just all made with love. That's the difference between, you know, you get these city slickers with their processed packaging and, you know, not made with love. Mm. Nothing's made with love anymore, but you go to Andrew's and the joint's just full of love. It's beautiful. And I'll tell you what, if you go there, really, just take your hat off when you walk in and just have a look in the big fridge, grab a creaming soda to wash it down and you will talk. I'm going into a spin here. I'm about to fall over if I keep going on about this.
Yeah, you're doing very well. You're doing very, very well. So what else do they put on them?
Well, you got your, let's start from the bottom, eh? You got a bit of time, do you?
Okay, yeah.
Let's start from the bottom. So you got your bun, obviously. Lightly toasted, maybe toasted. 70% toasted.
Toasted,
70% toasted.
I'm with you, yep.
With probably a salt-reduced margarine sort of across the top of it to get that crispiness. And then you've got your lettuce, your tomato, your sauce, your egg, your bacon, your patty, and then obviously your cheese, because you're just not serious if you're not having cheese.
I'm optional on the cheese, but I'm with you 100% so far. Now, you skipped over something too lightly. You said the sauce. What sauce?
Oh, just your Tommy sauce, your dead horse.
Oh, just tomato sauce. All right. They haven't got a special sauce.
Not that I've come across.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, and another, I don't hit your Nando's and your Macca's and your KFC and these sort of places a lot, but I tell you what, after a few neck oils with the boys, a McChicken does go down pretty bloody well.
All right, and do they have a secret recipe with the patty?
Is this at Andrew's, is it?
Hmm.
Well, yeah, because it tastes absolutely stunning. But, I mean, if I found the secret recipe, I think I'd just have to eat them for the rest of my life.
Well, let me just tell you something. My butcher, Fitzy's, Fitzsimons or Fitzsimmons Meats, right, they're at the shops down the road, they have these Wagyu burgers. They're $2.50 each, these meat patties. And they are just sensational. And I'm going to ask him when I see him next week.
Yep.
What his recipe is.
And can I tell you something, Luke?
Hmm.
Just the other day, I was in Malvern Central in Melbourne, a shopping centre, and I was walking through the shopping centre, and they had premium Wagyu beef steak. Have a guess. Just have a wild guess. How much per kilo? I nearly fell over.
Okay, hang on. But what cut? Rump, fillet, porterhouse? What are we talking?
Fillet.
Scotch fillet. Wagyu.
I think it was eye fillet.
Okay, eye fillet. That's the smaller one.
Yes, Wagyu.
Wagyu.
Per kilo cost.
Wagyu, eye fillet. $40 a kilo.
$250 a kilo. I've got the photo to prove it.
Are you serious?
Deadly. Deadly cereal.
Are you serious?
If I was any more serious, I'd be pretty serious.
400 and what?
No, no, $250 a kilo.
Oh, $250.
That's awesome. When I saw it, I was with my dad. I looked at him and he looked at me and I looked at him and we just stood there in awe.
Who spends $250 a kilo on steak?
Not me.
You should have asked them, does this sell well?
I said to him, what do you get with a free bowl of soup in a car or what?
Unbelievable. $250 a kilo for Wagyu Scotch fillet. Eye fillet.
I can send you the photo. I can send it into the show.
Yeah, do that for me.
Mate, when I was walking through Malvern Central and I just said to myself, self, that's ridiculous. A joke. On a lighter note, while I've got you, we're sitting out here on Western Port. And it is divine. There is not a breath of wind, not a breath of rain in sight. Just, oh, don't know how to explain.
Have you caught anything?
Yeah, we've caught a few trevally. We've caught a few yakkers. We've caught a couple of gummy sharks. It's a bit of a seafood basket, really.
Beautiful. All right. Well, listen, keep going. Thank you, Scotty, for that lovely picture. You painted a lovely picture. $250 a kilo. For fillet Wagyu, I fillet Wagyu. That'll just about do me. You're listening to The Night Shift from Triple M. I'm going to have a chat with Jess in just a sec. Talk about some other foods that we reckon have shrunk over the years. That previous caller, Michael, he reckons Big Macs are nowhere near as big as they used to be. Is he right? And I'll tell you something else. I reckon that the recipe for KFC has changed. Or at least it has in the shop just up the road here. It's nowhere near as good as it used to be, in my opinion. Is there anyone out there that works at KFC that can let me know on how they do it? I think it's changed. I don't think the Colonel would be happy. Dave is on Kangaroo Island. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Luke. How are you?
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Where's Kangaroo Island?
Well, picture South Australia, and we're the third largest island just south of Adelaide.
Is that right? And how many people would be on Kangaroo Island?
About 4,000.
And what do most people on Kangaroo Island do?
Well, tourism is a big thing. Obviously, we've got the only natural colony of bees in the world now, the Ligurian bee.
Bees?
So we've got honey as a big product.
Yeah.
We go... potato rootstock, which is because we've got nothing here to affect it.
Yeah.
And obviously sheep and farming are big things too.
Really?
And we're very much into tourism.
Kangaroo Island, eh?
Yeah.
Population 4,259.
Yep. I'm sitting here at the... Penshaw Wharf, waiting to board the ferry at 5:30 this morning.
Now, what would a three-bedroom home on Kangaroo Island be worth?
Oh, you could probably get one for just under 200.
Really?
Yep.
And the whole island is completely self-contained. You've got schools. You've got everything you need.
We've got everything we need. We don't have any fast food shops.
Okay, well, that's probably a good thing.
It is a great thing, but... listening to your last couple of callers, beetroot should be a prerequisite for every hamburger.
Thank you very much.
And I also believe that the Whopper has shrunk, and definitely the Big Mac has shrunk as well.
But you wouldn't know, you're on Kangaroo Island.
I've only been here for the last 12 months.
And now, how do you get on and off Kangaroo Island? Is the first stop Adelaide?
We get onto a ferry at Penashaw, 45-minute ride, and then we get off at Cape Jarvis on the Fourier Peninsula, which is about an hour and a half from Adelaide.
Okay, and does everyone on Kangaroo Island have a car?
Well, everyone I know does.
And how do you get your car on and off?
Well, the ferry takes your car.
How much does that cost?
Well, depending on whether you're a local or a temporary resident or whatever, the price varies. But for myself, to go to Adelaide and back, if I pick the right ferries, like the 5:30 in the morning and the 6 o'clock at night, about $140.
$140. But so if you live on Kangaroo Island, you live there and you work there?
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't commute.
No, I commute back to Adelaide every 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, and tourism's big on Kangaroo Island. So if I was to stay at Kangaroo Island, would I stay in a pub? Would I stay at a caravan park? Are there hotels? What?
Well, I work in a hotel.
Okay.
One of the Mercure lines over on American River.
Is it a good thing?
We've got 38 rooms there, and it's pretty isolated there, but it's absolutely fantastic for nature.
How much a night?
During peak, you're looking at a couple of hundred.
Couple of hundred a night? Off peak?
Probably about 100, 120.
And do you have a restaurant attached and all that?
We have an award-winning restaurant. Yeah, we've won an award for fine dining for the last 2 years here on the island.
Oh, look at this. And what about, you can get a beer there? How much is a beer?
Stubby of, you tell me your product, and I can tell you most stubbies are around about $8.
Okay, there you are. Kangaroo Island, we should go there.
It's the third largest island in Australia.
And is it brimming with seafood? Can you get a good feed of seafood there?
Oh, just down the road from where I work, you can get oysters fresh out the water every day.
What about lobsters?
It's now crayfish season, so crays will start filtering into the system.
So you can have a lobster at a restaurant there?
Not at the moment, because they've only just opened the crayfish season 2 days ago.
All right. Anyway, Kangaroo Island. There we go. You should be Minister for Tourism for Kangaroo Island there, Dave.
I'd love to be, but unfortunately I'm not.
Anyway, tell me, why are you ringing me?
Well, I'm ringing you to sort of thank you in one way.
Okay.
And make people aware of how isolated a place like this is, and how a bloke like myself can get very much involved in depression.
Oh.
Yeah, my situation is my partner and her daughter live over in Adelaide.
Mm-hmm.
I was made redundant over there, and fortunately I managed to get a job over here.
Yeah. Are they going to move over there with you?
No. Tonight's my last night on the island. I'm actually going home.
Oh.
After 12 months. But it was because of need to put a roof over our head and keep a roof over our head. I've come to the island to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived in a room basically 4.5 metres by 2.5 metres for the last year.
In order to get yourself ahead financially?
Well, in order to keep a roof over our head over in Adelaide, yeah.
So you've been sort of...
Just... when you knock off work and you go back to a room like that, how much depression can hit, especially for a bloke that, because us blokes don't talk.
That's right, we don't. We need to talk.
Yeah, and I just want to sort of make people, some of the blokes aware that, yeah, there's ways out and there's ways to talk. One of the ways I've managed to get myself okay is through listening to you virtually every night.
Oh, that's very, very kind. I'm glad that we could make you smile on occasions.
Yeah, no, I've tried to come and get involved in conversations, but obviously you've had a number of phone callers and all that. But the conversations that you've got overnight are great, because I finish work around about 11 o'clock at night and then try and unwind when you're by yourself in a little room, like I said, and... if it wasn't for listening to people like yourself, I had no one. I'd go back to my room and all I'd do would be possibly drink and make myself feel worse and worse. But listening to you on the radio was my way out. And finally, I've obtained a job back in Adelaide, and I'm going home.
You're going home. Well, you could continue to listen to me in Adelaide, 104.7 Triple M.
Yeah, well, I listen to Triple M every time, all day.
But well,
I just want to make aware to some of your listeners, the males especially, talk about your depression, because it got to the stage where I almost lost my family because of it.
Yeah, well, that's very good advice. And I'm glad that we could keep you company, and you go back home and enjoy your family and stay listening, okay?
Oh, for sure, Luke. And by all means, come to Kangaroo Island because it's a fantastic place.
I want to go. Hey, Jess, why don't we go to Kangaroo Island?
Yeah, but I don't want to pay for it.
No.
I will say one thing, though, while you went on the blower there.
Yeah.
This Sports Illustrated thing that was being done at Kangaroo Island.
I don't know anything about it. What's that?
Well, Sports Illustrated were doing a model shoot for their magazine.
Oh, right. When are they doing that? I'll be there. I'm leaving now.
They've just done it.
Oh.
But they had these models in their bikinis.
Yes.
And they had a snake around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even a Kangaroo Island snake.
Oh, it was an imported snake.
It was a carpet python or something like that.
It was an imposter.
We've only got two snakes on Kangaroo Island.
Yeah.
And both are venomous.
Both are?
Yeah, both are venomous.
What are they?
We've got the tiger snake and we've got the pygmy copperhead.
Okay.
So why they didn't use one of them, I don't know.
Well, because it's venomous, so that's why they use the other snake.
But why do a shoot showing a snake when you're on Kangaroo Island?
Yeah. Anyway, so the models are gone, so it's no pointless. It's no point me going down there.
No, but you can still come here over here and enjoy the, the honey, because it's the purest honey in the world.
Oh.
Because we've got the only Ligurian bee colony in the world, which came from Italy originally, and it's still pure here, and we've got so many restrictions as to what you can bring over in regards to honey and potatoes and things like that.
Yeah, no, I can understand. You've got to look after your dynamic equilibrium. You've got to look after the ecology. Hey, listen, thank you so much, and a very, very good message. Guys, talk. If there's something bothering you, don't bottle it up. Talk to someone. Lifeline's there, 24/7, 13, 11, 14. Well, enjoy your family, Dave. You've spent 12 months on Kangaroo Island. You're going home. Tonight's your last night, eh?
Yeah, I'm sitting here having a beer, and the ferry leaves at 5:30 this morning, and I am heading home.
There you are. Good on you, Dave. Ring me when you get home.
I will.
Okay, mate. You take care now. This is the Night Shift from Triple M. Yeah, Jess, I want to go to Kangaroo Island. That sounds great, don't you reckon?
Yeah, it sounds lovely.
Yeah, Kangaroo Island. So about $200 a night to stay in Dave's hotel. Of course, you want it for free, and you want all our meals included.
Yeah, obviously. I got a lot of dietary requirements too.
Oh God, you're hard work. You are too. You are too. Anyway, where else should we stay? Give us a call. Where are you? Are you somewhere where that doesn't get enough publicity? We're here to help you. Let's put your town on the map. Give us a call. You did a great job selling Kangaroo Island, Dave, and I'm glad that you're feeling better and you're going home, mate. Well done. 133353. Now, here he is. G'day, Slim.
How you going, mate?
How are you, me old mate?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, Indy. Tough ride rush, mate.
Got a question for you.
Okay, far ahead.
Tomorrow, Tuesday the 6th of November.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first Tuesday of November.
Yeah.
And there is a significant horse race that takes place, apparently, in Melbourne.
I wonder what that would be.
Do you care about the Melbourne Cup? I want to know, does Australia really care? Because people who don't know a thing about racing suddenly all become experts, don't they, on Melbourne Cup Day?
They do. No, well, it doesn't really bother the wife or myself. Never has, Luke. We've always been involved with horses, just mainly, warm bloods, stock horses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to the Melbourne Cup there, we don't mind watching the race, but we don't have a punt.
Yeah.
That might sound very un-Australian, but, we never follow the horses through the year, so just why one day?
Yeah.
But before my train of thoughts go, I do have another yarn there to tell you, but since I've been listening, your last caller, if he's still listening to the show,
Dave,
I would like him there to introduce himself to the nearest men's shed. Now, I've been involved with the Nanango men's shed for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And it started off on Beyond Blue.
Yes.
Which, you know, Jeff Fennett, you know, was virtually the founder, or he got it up and running. It's all about men's health.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I've been involved, I'm now on the committee, and we abide by the Australian Men's Shed Association rules. And the only trade that I've got there, you know, virtually stockman, machine operator, you know, virtually heavy machine operator, and that's about, you know, that's about the lot. But you've got
Why am I not surprised, Slim, that you are involved with something like this? It doesn't surprise me, but you are.
I probably gave it away, Luke.
But,
I don't really know, but it has helped a lot of the boredom since I've been in town. And it really has. Now, there's guys, and I won't do any name calling, but there's guys there that we all seem to have our hang-ups, but we are apt to talk to another bloke than we can talk to our partners or our wives.
Okay, now, can you hang on 1 second, Slim?
Mm-hmm.
Because Dave from Kangaroo Island is back on the phone.
Oh, okay.
And I want to introduce you to him, okay?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
G'day, Dave. You're back.
Yeah, Luke, I'm here.
Dave, I want to introduce you to a bloke, Slim. He's from where is it, Slim? Nanango in Queensland.
Nanango, Queensland.
And Slim is a great regular caller to the program. You've probably heard him before. He always has a good story.
I have heard him.
He wants to have a quick chat with you about something. Slim, meet Dave.
How are you, Slim?
Good morning there, Dave. Actually, I'm fine, thanks, mate. I had been listening to your call there to Luke, and you're on your way home. Now, at your earliest convenience, I would advise you there to find the nearest men's shed, as in men, M-E-N-S, shed, as in S-H-E-D. Now, it's controlled there by Australian Men's Shed Association.
Yes.
I'm of Australia. And it started off there from Beyond Blue. And it's all about men's health. Now,
Men talking to each other.
Yeah, that's one of the things I have got myself involved with, thanks to Luke being on the phone. Kangaroo Island, we do have a men's shed, and I got myself involved there. And great. And as soon as I get back to Adelaide, I'm going to try and tie up with one close to home.
Oh, well, actually, that sounds fine there, mate. You know, I'm not too sure what your criteria is, but, you know, we do a lot of sort of raffles there to get money. We will from time to time apply for a grant if we want to update tools, any machinery. Now, you've got guys there that, you know, they do a woodwork on a lathe, they do a metal work on a lathe.
That's right, yes.
We restore furniture. We're also out on the committee. Now, you know, if an old lady has lost her partner and the lawns have got a bit too much for her, you know, we'll go and mow the lawns. And all we ask for is just a small donation.
Yeah, no, I got involved with the local one here, and we're making wooden toys for kids.
We do that too now, Vichy. I'm from the bush there, and you know, my expertise there was, you know, virtually master of none sort of thing. But I got tired of there doing leather work.
Yep.
Now, I found that very interesting, a bit challenging. Up until the eyesight wasn't all that bloody flash, so I gave that up.
Now
I do all the router work.
All right, yep.
And, and we make gate signs for properties. We make your man cave signs. All sorts.
You make will you make me a man cave sign? I'll pay for it.
Right. Here you go. You can't say no.
Well, actually, I tell you what, there. I'll only be too happy there to make you one, there, Luke.
Oh, Luke's man cave.
Luke's man cave.
Made by his mate Slim.
L U K E. Is that how you spell your Luke?
Yes, and I'll pay for it. You tell me what to pay because it goes to a very good cause. But I want you to say from your mate Slim.
Okay, I'll do that virtually underlined there. As I said, I'm not professional. It's a little bit sort of rustic.
Doesn't matter.
Don't mind that.
The more rustic, the better. And I'll put it on the entrance to the door.
No, Luke, these man sheds are really good. It was through you that I got involved with one of them. And as soon as I get back to Adelaide, I'm going to look up the closest one on back in, near my place and keep going.
Good on you, Dave. Well, I'm glad we could get you back because I wanted to introduce you to Slim.
It's been very nice talking to you, Dave. You know, get back to your family, but you keep the support up for the men shed because it has been a blessing for me and eventually most of the other blokes that are members of the shed. We're up to about 56 members at the moment.
I got to the stage there, Slim, where I didn't want to get out of bed. And if it wasn't for having to work and put a roof over my family's head, I wouldn't have done that. And then listening to Luke here on the radio at night, and there's other people saying, about depression and this, and get involved in community groups and all this, and the man sheds and all this. And I did that, and it is a positive way of thinking, and I am so much better for it.
Actually, I'm very, very pleased to hear that there, Dave. And I tell you what there, I've never met Luke, but I feel that, you know, I've known him for such a long time. And that little lass there that I talk to, give her a bit of cheek, she's a little darling there, Jess. But anyhow, you had a nice meeting you, mate, and enjoy your family time.
I will. I look forward to it because it's been so long we've been apart, and it's just going to be like a new life.
Oh, good on you, Cobber.
Good on you, Dave.
I'm going to keep with my rehab and all that, and keep involved with Men's Line and go to the men's sheds and all that. And I'm still going to be positive in that regards. And believe me, any other bloke that's out there that's suffering, listen to Slim, listen to me, it's possible.
It certainly is, Cobber. It certainly is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll catch you later, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Slim, and thanks, Luke, because you're a great bloke.
Good on you, Dave. You take care, buddy.
Cheers. Yeah.
Oh, good on you, Slim.
Actually, that was very nice to allow that link up there, Luke.
Well, that was really good. You were very good, and you've Slim.
Oh, yeah, thanks, mate.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, and appreciate
now,
you. Yep.
You were talking about Maccas before. Now, I don't know what it's like where at the neck of the woods that you're from, but up in Queensland, they were advertising on telly, and alpaca is going to be the new meat there in McDonald's.
Who?
Alpaca.
Alpaca?
Alpaca, and I'm not pulling your leg. I got quite a shock when I saw it on TV.
They're introducing
alpaca meat into McDonald's, and I thought, now what about the bloody Angus meat? The son-in-law and I, we provided for Q meats, and a lot of the meat there went to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like Angus meat.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they promote, I think there was a bit of a talk about the Wagyu. But I wouldn't, I wouldn't go out of my way to eat Wagyu. I know it's very lean. There's a lot of marbling in it.
$250 a kilo, that bloke. Who was that? That was Scott from Melbourne. $250 a kilo. He saw fillet steak.
Feedlot meat, a deranged fed. But the Wagyu always tastes like, like immature meat.
What's that, veal?
Well, probably a little bit stronger than veal, but it's a very greyish meat. It's not a rich red meat like, a big Angus or Charbray or...
So in Queensland, they're going to start... Macca's Big Macs are going to be big alpacas instead of Big Macca's.
They call it Macaca, I think. And I think that was the slogan.
Okay.
Macaca. And I thought, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I remember reading that last week.
I'm not pulling your leg. I'm telling the gospel truth.
I know you are, because I read it. Jess found the story for me last week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hang on. She's got it. She's got it now. Yeah, you're telling the truth. You're telting the truth. Jess, what's the exclusive story, Jess?
Well, it's not in regards to McDonald's, but there's a burger joint that's been using alpaca meat, and it is dividing people.
Mm-hmm.
They've got it just in a regular burger with cheese, pickles, onion sauce, and a sesame seed bun.
Mm.
It's apparently low calories. It's high in protein. It's at a burger place called Burger Urge in Queensland. They're in New South Wales too.
Burger Urge.
Yeah, but they've only got them out for a couple of weeks. And people are losing their minds. People are saying they didn't even know that we could eat alpacas and they don't know how they feel about it. People are finding it a little bit disturbing, but some don't seem to mind.
Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny, Slim and Jess? It's funny what we eat, but we don't like to think where it came from. Like, I love lamb, right? But I don't want to think about Mary's Little Lamb.
No. You know, well, actually, when it comes to pork, what about babe?
That's all, folks.
Yeah. Now, before I go there, Cola, I've got this yarn.
Oh, you got a yarn for me. All right, this is, folks, sit back. Slim usually finishes with a yarn. I'm all ears.
Now, here's this old bloke. He goes into the markets. He's a little bit, a sandwich short of a picnic.
Mm.
But then he's going through the stalls, and he spots, because they're very, very, very backward there, and he spots this mirror, but he didn't know it was a mirror. He thought it was a photo. He said, God almighty, he said, that looks like me brother. He said, I'm going to have to buy that and take it home because it's his birthday next week.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, he makes the purchase and he takes it home. Anyhow, he said, well, I don't want the wife there to bloody find out. I better hide it. So he finds, as he thought, a good hiding posse. But his missus is getting a bit suspicious because he keeps on changing this hiding posse. She said, I bet you he's up to no bloody good. I bet he's got another woman. Anyhow, she's searching through the house. Anyhow, she finds this bloody mirror, and she's looking into it. Well, I knew he had another woman, but by God, isn't she ugly?
Thank you, Slim.
Okay, Cobber.
Okay, you take care now.
Okay, mate. We'll catch you, Jess. Bye, dear.
You're a good man.